All right, Shalom Uvracha. Good afternoon. Shalom coming out a second time again, Erev Shabbos. We are up to Ksuvas Daf Pei Zayin. We left off Pei Vav Amud Beis at the second Mishnah. Pei Vav Amud Beis at the second Mishnah towards the bottom of the page. We'll go rather quickly. I know we're short on time. Days are getting shorter. We will keep it just to basic Gemara Rashi. Maybe speak out one or two Tosfos and Ramban, but not much more. Kasavla. If the husband writes to a shtar to his wife as follows. Neder Shvua Ein Li Alayich. I have no neder or shvuah. It's very appropriate. Mitzvah Hashem, in 5 days from now, we're going to be saying kol nidre. So a lot of today's daf is about absolving her from being obligated to make nederim or shvuahs back to him. For again, we have the prior Mishnah, whether it's about her administrating over his business affairs or whether it'll be about the ksuva. We'll see. We'll see in the Gemara more what shvuahs we're talking about. But the point over here is, husband writes to the wife, Eshtar, I am absolving you from making a neder or shvua, and yachlashbia. So once he writes for his shtar, he cannot make her swear or make a neder. Aval, mashbiyu es yorshea, that's bam brushasa. But if she's moved on, and she has yorshim that now come to make claims, he can make the yorshim swear, or whoever succeeds her, he can make those people swear. He just absolved her from a shvua. Neder shvua ein lelayich, val yorshayich val bam brushasech. So what if he adds in, I have no neder shvua against you, or against your Yerushim, or your successors, and Yachalashbi, and then he cannot make a Shvua against Loi, Heave, Loi Yerushev, Loi Bambi Brushasa, not her, not a Yerushim, not whoever else comes in her stead. Aval, Yerushav, his own Yerushim, Mashbi and Isa, they could, for sure, they can make herself swear, and certainly, as Yerushev, they can make her Yerushim swear, Vesa Bambi Brushasa, and whoever else succeeds her, they can make all those people swear. Neder, again, we'll see exactly what this brings about right in the beginning of the Gemara. Neder Shvua Einli. Now, what if he writes, Neder Shvua, a Neder, or Nor Shvua, Einli, V'loy L'Yershai, V'loy L'Bar Mishasi. So he writes off, he absolves any ability for himself to force a Neder or Shvua against her, or his Yershim, or whoever comes in his place. He says, none of us can make Alayich, you, the wife, her Yershim, or her successors. He's saying, all of us and my successors, all of myself and my successors, cannot make you or your successors swear. Then, not him, nor his Yershim, nor those that come in his place. Neither him or anyone who comes after him can make her or anyone who comes after her swear. He's absolved. Again, that's a very encompassing, clear directive. And therefore, there's not going to be an ability for him to swear. But, Holcha, this is all, how long does that last for? This all lasts for any transactions that may have taken place while he or she was alive. Says the Mishnah, Holcha mekever ba'al beis aviyah. Let's say after she became an almana, she went from the husband's kever back to her father's house. Or if she went from back to the husband's house, we always call it the Beis Chameh, the father's house, but it's basically back to his house, back to with his family. But she did not become an apitropis. So nothing took place after the death of the husband. Then in Yerushim Hashmir Nisa, the Yerushim continue not to be able to make her swear, because anything that took place prior to the husband's death, husband already absolved her from Shvuah. And nothing took place afterwards. She was an administrator, and therefore, either she was by her own parents' house, or she was with the husband's family, but she was an administrator, and therefore she need not swear. However, if she does become an apitropos after the husband dies, the Yershim could make a swear at anything that took place after the husband died. Husband's only absolved her of whatever took place in his lifetime. Whatever took place after he died, that she's not absolved from, and that she would have to swear. But they cannot make her swear on that which passed, that which was history. Okay, says the Gemara, Shvua Ma'vente. What Shvua are we talking? What Shvua is the husband absolving his wife from that we're discussing? Amri V'dim Rav, top of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Al Apitropis Nasa B'chaya Bala. We're talking about Apitropis that she was made like an administrator. Kind of we had a very appropriate follow up to the prior Mishnah. She was an administrator. She was a CEO of his estate. We had a case where she was actually running a store, a storekeeper, right? So that type of story. So she's swearing about not taking things, mispossessing, misappropriating any of the money while being an administrator in his dealings. That's Rav Yudim Rav's pshat. And I'm just saying that the husband's absolving her from making those shvuas. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avuah Al Pegemis Ksuvasa. And this is going to really be coming up in the next mission. Bam the Amid, you'll see there's another mission coming up. And the mission is going to discuss a case where a woman's Pegem Ksuvah. Pegem literally means like she damage the ksuva. That's not what it means over here. Let's say ksuva is owed, she's owed 200 zuz in the ksuva. And she needed some money, so she collected against, she took money. She borrowed some of the ksuba payment from the husband. Bechaya, she got payments, paid some of the money. So now she's only owed, or let's say the husband already died, and she collected part of the ksuba after death, but not all of it. Point is, when the ksuba is partially collected, the Mishnah is going to tell us, coming up in 20 lines from now, the Bava Amud, that she can only collect the rest of the ksuba with the shvua. She needs a shvua. Says Rav Nachman Amar Rav Huah, that's the shvua we're talking about here too. The husband is absolving her from the shvua that we're about to learn about, namely the pagemis ksuvasa. So basically, it's machlokes Rav Yehuda Rav and Rav Nachman Amar Rav Huah is our Mishnah, which discusses that husband absolving her from the shvua. Is it absolving her from the shvua that we just discussed in the prior Mishnah about business dealings, or is it related to the Mishnah coming up, the next Mishnah, about when she's paying him in the ksuva, when she collected a partial ksuva, that she has to swear to collect the rest. And the husband's saying, no, I'm absolving her from that shvua. Okay, two malachim. Also, Rav Mordechai, I'm around the Shemite to come into Rav Ashi. Rav Mordechai said over this discussion of Rav Ashi, and these two pshatim in our Mishnah, and he said as follows, Bishlam lemand amar alpegemis ksuva, so according to Rav Nachman, Amar Abavua, who said they were talking about the husband's absolving her from the shvua of being paying him the ksuva, the shvua that she collected part of the tzuvah. She has to normally swear to collect the rest. And the husband's saying, I'm absolving her for that shvua. It's very gishmak. The maskadaita, the reason why the husband would give her such a shtar, so to speak, to release her from making such a shvua, is because it's on her mind. At the time of the marriage already, the wife's thinking, maybe at some point in the marriage, I'll need some money. And I'll take part of my ksuva. I'll take part of my rest of the ksuva while we're still married. And therefore she tells the husband, do me a favor, write me a shtar that if I collect part while I'm married, you're not going to make me swear to collect the rest later. Write me the shtar. Meaning, the Gemara is taking assuming, husband's not stamas, just writing shtars to his wife, you're absolved of shuas. It's obviously something that was on her mind, was bothering her, and she asked the husband to write the shtar. So the Gemara says, Bishlama, if we're talking about the shvua of Pegemis Ksuva, it's on her mind. She may need money at some point. She may borrow against the Ksuva. She may, therefore, be chayv to make a shvua to collect the rest. And she's asking her husband to write a shtar to absolve her from that shvua. That all makes sense. The Gemara understands that case. Elamah number, Alapitrapa Shas Bechaya Bala. According to my number, that the reason for the shvua is in the case she became a money manager for the husband in the husband's lifetime. It's interesting Gemara. The Gemara holds that is that mistaver when she would have thought about the fact that maybe it happens over time. He decides to make her the administrator over his assets. But would she think that when they're early on in the marriage that the husband is going to in the future make her an administrator and therefore ask the husband to write her such a release from shavuos? It's a unlikely scenario. Apparently, the Gemara is taken for granted. It wasn't so common that the wife would actually be the manager of the husband's money. And he would just give it over to her. So, therefore, it's not mistaver, so why would she ask for such a thing? Okay. Amalei Rav Ashi says, Atan, that was Rav Mordechai's repetition of the Machlekes from Nachman and Rudam Rav in how to interpret Mishnah, and he has trouble with Rav Yudam Rav's Pshat. He likes Rav Nachman's Pshat better. Rav Ashi says, but your issue with Rudam Rav's Pshat is because you learned Rudam Rav was going on this Mishnah, on the Mishnah we just quoted, about a husband absolving his wife from a Shavua, and you're saying it's talking about an apitrapis. But I have a whole different version of Rudam Rav. Says Gemara Amalei, Rav Ashi says to Rav Mordechai, Atan Hamas Nisimla, you learned Rav Yudah's statement going back on our Mishnah. I shouldn't say on our Mishnah, on the first part of our Mishnah. And if you're bothered, why did she think in the first place that she's going to be an administrator to even ask for such a release? Anana Hamasimla. But we taught Rav Yehuda's statement on the latter part of the Mishnah. She went for the kever of the husband's gravesite to her father's house. She went back to her husband's family, but she did not become an apitrapis. In that case, in Yarshim Shemina, the Yarshim cannot make her swear. If she does become an administrator, then Yarshim Shemina, the Yarshim can make her swear on that which is in the future, that which took place after the husband died, but not on that which took place prior concern of the past. They can't make a swear. The Gemara now asks, Sha'avar my vidtei. What do you mean, Sha'avar, you can't make a swear? Till what point? When we were saying the husband gave a waiver, he released her, and therefore she doesn't have to swear on anything in the past, only in the future. What do you call past? How far back does she not have to swear? Amar, you never have, Alipitrapa Shaz B'chaya Baal. It's referring to any administrative duties that she did when she was in the lifetime of the husband that she's exempt from. Rudam Rav came to explain the Mishnah that any administrative duties that took place right after the husband dies, even before the Kfura, even though we're saying that after the Kfura she went to go back to the husband's house and she became administrator, she now has to swear. She's not just swearing about what took place after the husband was buried. Even between the death and the burial, that's also included, she would have to swear. The exemption of the husband is only caused by the husband's alive. That is what Rudam Rav is being mechadash on the safe of the Mishnah, nothing to do. That's what we were talking about. Nothing to do with the race of the mission. Therefore, on this issue that you had, why is she asking for releases before she's even an administrator? No. We're talking about a case where she was an administrator, Mechayim. She's continued to be an administrator after he dies. And we're saying the exemption is only while the husband's alive. The second husband dies, even before Kvura, she's not exempt. For Rav Masa argues on this interpretation, and he says, no. Even between Misa and Kvura, even the transactions that she did after the husband dies, till the husband's buried, she's exempt from the Shavuah. Why? Because we have a member from the people of Nardai. Karga is like a head tax. Karga was it's a type of mas, a type of a masoresh. Meaning, but I don't think it has to do with income. It's just the fact that someone exists. They used to have to pay a certain tax. So for that payment, they have to give the government l'mazaini, or for just basic mazainis for the almana and for the bunnies, ulekvuro, or for the expenses of burial. Mazabin lebechrasta, we sell with echrasta. Normally, in order to sell, when you sell assets to pay for different expenses and from an estate, in order to make sure that you're getting the proper value, you have to do an echrasta. You have to call out. You have to, modern day equivalent of marketing. You have to market it to make sure you're getting market value. You have to market it to make sure the market's aware of it, and then you can be sure you're getting the value that exists in the market. Over here, for these things, because there's a rush that you have to sell it, you have no choice. You have to sell it, move quickly. You can't wait for the achrazas of the market to dissect it and to try to get the best price. You have to just sell it. Therefore, you don't do achraza. So too, there's no din of a shvua. You're not going to make a swear on a sale that you have to do with a gun to head, but a sale that had to be done quickly on that sale as well. So we're saying, when the husband's alive, he absolved from shvuas. Even after he dies, took kvura, that's a very stressful time, and therefore, she's not going to have to swear on that as well. Only after kvura would she have to swear on any administrative duties that she has. Amar Abba Chiyah. Delay neder udelay shvua. Now this is, by the way, but let's pause for a second. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. I spoke about not going to speak many Rishonim, but let's speak at one point. The Ramban brings this. He brings the other side as well. That there are those that want to say that, yeah, the husband can't make her swear once he absolved her from shvua and mishnah. He can't make her swear b'chayev, and even the children can't make her swear after the husband dies about things that took place b'chayev, only about things that took place after mitzvah. But what about idea gilgul shvua? We've had this idea of gilgul shvua. What if there's something the husband's allowed to make her swear about? Nothing to do with the administration. Let's say there's something. Well, we'll have in the next mishnah. There are cases where husband can make his wife swear. Let's say he retained that right to make her swear about something. Once he can make her swear about something else, could you be Megalgal or the Yershim? Once the Yershim are able to make her swear now about things about after Misa, could they be Megalgal or Shvua about even what took place before the husband died? Could they now be Megalgal or no? They can't even do Ayyadei Gilgul Shvua. So the Ramban brings from other Rishayinim that, yeah, Ayyadei Gilgul Shvua, the Yershim, who can make her swear after the husband dies about things that took place after the husband dies, once they can make that shvua, they can also throw in her, be megalgal, and once you're swearing, swear about this as well, about things even while the husband's still alive. So that would be a way to circumvent, so to speak, the din of the Mishnah. However, Rabban himself and other Rishonim argue and say, no, that's part of being absolved, is they can't make a swear, side directly, you can't make a swear, nor could you make a swear, the gilgul shvua, you cannot make a swear at all, and the release applies even legabe gilgul shvua. Amar Rabbi Baruch Amar Chia, the Len Neder Udla Shvua. These lashanas are really starting to sound similar to what we'll say next week in Mitzvah Shem on Tuesday. The Len Neder Udla Shvua. Husband wrote to his wife that without Neder, without Shvua, what is he saying? What he's saying is, I can't make you make a Neder or Shvua, but he didn't take away the ability for his children to make her make a Neder or Shvua. Naki neder, naki shvua. If he says naki, clean up neder, clean the shvua, that means fully clean. Beinu ben yarshim emesh minasa. Sayim said there should not make her swear. Okay. Hachkamer, because what's he saying? The Mar just elaborates. Manakis mishvasa. You're totally clear from shvuas. You're totally clear from making any shvuas. Okay. Rabbi Yisrael Amar Pchia, he argues, says no. To la neder shvua hu einach lashpi av yarshim emesh minasa. That's the same. He agrees if the husband just says lashem la neder shvua, he can't make a swear, but the yarshim could make a swear. That stays the same as Rabbi Amar Pchia. By the way, this is a machlekes, Rabbi the name of Chia, I'm just noticing now, and Rav Yosef the name of Chia. So Rav Yosef agrees to Rabbi that the first statement Rav Chia said, they're both in agreement. Here's the part, he takes the opposite approach. Avol, Yosh Mashiach said, Naki Neder, Naki Shvua, Bein Hu, Bein Yarshim, Mashpien Aysa. If he says, Naki Neder, Naki Shvua, you know what he's saying? Hachamarla, Naki Nafshach Mashvasa, the way to come clean, the way to make sure you're fully out of any doubt, any concern about you misappropriating any money is only through a shvua or through a neder. Only through a neder or through a shvua. Someone is
Sorry,
please I'm mute. Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Sorry.
No worries. Says the Gemara. Shalach Reb Zakkai.
I wanted to ask you a question. Is this
so to answer your question, the shvua is for the husband and his Yerushim to make sure that she, he has a right to make sure that as when she had full rights to the, you know, to the business, or she was operating it, she didn't misappropriate any money. This release is doing her a favor, and by extension, her Yerushim, by saying, in the Mishnah's case, that I'm trusting you, and I'm saying, you're not obligated. She wants to be comfortable in the marriage. She's like, I can only do this if you're not going to make me swear, and the husband's giving her that right. That's what's happening over here. Okay, so now, Rav Yosef Bar Chia, we're short of time, let's go. Rav Yosef Bar Chia, you're the one that's in a rush. Who yen yech leshbia, av yershim bashbina son, naki, neder, naki shvua, we said, beinu ben yershim bashbina son, hachamer, naki nefshim shvua. So Rav Yosef Bar Chia says, he agrees the first part, but he says, when it's naki ned or naki shvua, then on the contrary, what you mean to say is the way to clean yourself, the way to be absolved of any concern, is dafkai ned or dafkai shvua, mamish opposite. Rabbi Neymar Chia held that naki means you don't have to swear at all, not you, not your Yershim. Not to me, sorry, or not to my Yershim. Sholchim zaka the Ram Okva. Bain de la shvua, bain de naki shvua. So we're going to have more opinions on these different lashonos. Bain de la shvua, bain de naki shvua, bain de la neder, bain de naki neder. Rav Zaki said to Merkva, whether he said a lashon of delashvu or denaki shvua, delan neder or denaki neder, talachas as follows. Benichsei, if he wrote the words benichsei in my possessions, who inech lashbi av yashim mashbinatsei? He can't make a swear because he said nichsei, my nechasim, but mine, the yashim, once they inherit it, it's not his, it's theirs, they can make a swear. However, if he says, menichsei elaine, from these possessions, remember, if he says, you don't have to swear about my assets. Okay, close mind belongs to the husband. She won't have to swear. But when he dies, it doesn't belong to him. He's dead. If it says Yershim, then she would have to swear to the Yershim. But if he says from these assets, he just makes the exemption from swearing on these assets, then it doesn't make a difference. Bein hu, bein Yershim, bein mishpinah say. Whether him or his Yershim, can I make a swear because he's absolved her from swearing on these assets, whether he's the owner or his children. Amar Nachman Shmuel Mishma Abashal Ben Imer Miriam, interesting name. First of all, it's interesting that we're picking up his mother's name. The Lushan of Ima Miriam. Ima means mother. Ima Miriam. So typically, you don't find two names. This is a very interesting point that we should notice, that very seldom in Shas do you find Tanoim Amarim with two names. Two names is a much later development. People have maybe wanted a name after multiple people. Two names, or that for whatever reason, it became a later development, having multiple names. It used to be, for the most part, one name, and even very common is Abishol and the like. We say, many of us understand very simply that Abba is like a term of chashivas, a term of endearment. Not so much it was part of the name, it was a title that was added. The name was Shal, and Abba was added. So too over here, Ima Miriam, besides the fact that we're calling him by his mother's name, which is interesting, but it's Abba Shal, who was the son of Ima Miriam. Ima is not really her name, L'chaira. Ima is just, a title of distinction. Ima Miriam, okay, so what did Rav Nachman Shmuel say in the name of Abba Shal ben Ima Miriam? Bain delay shvua, bain denaki shvua, bain lened, bain denaki neder. Whether he said lashon of delay or lashon of naki, whether it was by neder or was by shvua, and whether he said bain nechasai, my nechasim, bain nechasai ilan from these nechasim, bain hu, bain yershav, emash bain esai. The him or the yershav should have had to swear. I mean, it should work. It should work in all those lashonos that he can't make a swear, the yershav make a swear. But check this out. Ava ma'asa, what could I do? He says, Shabri Amr Chamacham said, we quote this multiple times in the Masechta already. Habala Parm Nechasi Seimim, when it comes to collect from the Nechasmi Seimim, Lay Parm Shvua, have to make a Shvua. So really, the Lashana should absolve not just her from swearing to him, her from swearing to his Yershim. But we have a klal, whoever comes to collect from the Seimim, have to swear, and therefore, that she can't get around, that Takanus Chamim, she can't get around. There's a big discussion, there's multiple Malchim in the Rishainim. What's going on over here? Is he arguing on all these Zinim and on our mission as well? Our Mishnah said clearly that the husband can make, I forget about these Amaram that we just spoke out. Our Mishnah says, husband can make a stipulation, can write to his wife, I'm writing to you that I'm not going to make you swear, nor will those that come from me, they won't make you swear, nor will they make those that come from you swear. He's able to make a full release of any obligation to swear, and the Mishnah said it works. And now everybody seems to be saying, it doesn't work. Well, it works, but it doesn't work because there's a separate din that you have to pay when you come to collect from Yisayimim, nothing to do with the wife. Anyone who comes to collect money from Yisayimim has to make a shvua, there's a separate din. Okay, so is that arguing in the Mishnah, or is he qualifying and saying, avad in the Mishnah's case, it does work, but we're talking over here about a more specific scenario, or more about these Lashainas, but maybe other Lashainas in Mishnah would work. This is a big discussion of Lashainim, how far we take. The simple reading of it sounds like he's arguing on our Mishnah's din. Lamaisi is arguing on Mishnah's din. That's a simple reading. Others want to say somehow we can make it jive, that we're not talking about the same exact din. We're talking about Let's go back to the first Pshat, administrative purposes. In our Mishnah Torah, for administrative purposes, he released from Shvuah. But when you come to collect from Yisayimim for Ksuva, that you have to swear for, that you can never absolve it from that Shvuah, that should always have to make a Shvuah. If it's talking about Pagamic Ksuva, it's a little more shver how to understand that make a Shem with our Mishnah. Okay. Ikadarmi, Lo Masisa, some say as a Braisa. Abishal ben Miriam, Amar, Bein La Shvuah, Bein La Shvuah, Bein La Neder, Bein La Neder, Bein Mechachasai, Bein Mechachasai, Ilan. Whether it's from my Nechasim or whether it's from these Nechasim, Bein Hu, Bein Yarshav, Eim Ashbinaisa. Whether it's him or his Yarshim, they can't make a swear. That should be the halacha. Avamaesa, what should I do? I mean, I can't apply this lamaisa. Shari Amr, because whenever she comes to collect, we're going to say the following. Hariam Chama, Bala Par Mechasimim, Lai Pel Beshvuah. So according to the second version, same idea, but it was first stated as like a braisa, and then Ranach Mashmul, instead of quoting a memra from Abishal ben Imra Miriam, these just says, halacha is like that memra, halacha is like that braisa. Okay, now in the Mishnah we see the case of Pagamis, in addition to a few other cases where she's obligated to swear. Habagamis Kavas, a woman who, Pagam, we said, literally means like she's Pagam, she damaged, you know, Pagam in a friend's coven. You Pagam, he was Pagam in Chas V'Shalom. Pagam the Ksuva, she damaged the Ksuva, in this case means she took partial payment. So she admits she's only owed part of the Ksuva. Like the problem of Shvuah, when she collects the remainder, she can only collect it with the Shvuah. She has to swear the rest wasn't paid. Eidechon mi d'shipura, what if the Eid testifies that the ksuv was paid. If she wants to collect, so obviously only the eidach. If it's two aid, then she wouldn't be able to swear anything. She wouldn't get. It's only one aid, so she has to swear to counteract the aid in order to collect the ksuva. And three more cases. Anyone collecting from Nechasei Yisayimim, or when you come to collect from Nechasei Mishabadim, so these are encumbered properties that were sold to another, and she wants to go repossess those properties as a lien for Ksuva, or she's having fun where she's collecting out of the presence of the husband. In all three of those cases, late to Parallel B'Shvua, again, she needs to make a Shvua. So we have five cases where she can only collect with a Shvua. The Mishnah elaborates on the cases. Habagamis Ksuvasa case, what's the case which became Pagamis Ksuvasa? Heis Ksuvasa Elb Zuz. The Ksuva was 1,000 Zuz. Farmer Lunch, she says to him, his Kabalti Ksuvasa. And when she pulls out the ksuva, he says to her, you already received your payment. V'yameris, she says, no. Lais kabalti alamana. I agree I got part of the payment. I got 100 zuz, but I'm still owed 900 zuz. Lait tiparal b'shvua. She can only collect the rest with a shvua. It's kind of like, the Mar's in a connective, sounds familiar. It does sound very much like the maidim mixus, so it gives the idea of a partial admission. We'll see more about that shortly in the Gemara. The Mar's is very different as well, but it does have a similar husband saying, I paid you all. She's saying, no, you only paid me part. She has to swear to collect the rest. Eidechamid, she perua, Kate, Sabbath's case, Haisuvas, Alpha, the Ksuvas, 1,000 Zuz, Famalas, Kabat, the Ksuvas, and the husband says, you already received your Ksuva. Via Maris, like Kabalti, she says, Lays about that, didn't receive it. Eidechamid, she perua, and Eidecha backs up the husband and says, yeah, you did. He paid you. Like Tabal Bishvua, that's a classic case of going against Eidecha, and she has to make a Shvua. Otherwise, she can't collect. Menachas b'shabadim ketzav. What's the case? Menachas b'shabadim. So notice we actually went a little out of order. In the Mishnah's order was menachas yisayimim, then menachas b'shabadim, and then shleim b'fadim. That was the order in the Mishnah the way we had it in the first. Actually, in the Reish of the Mishnah. Now when we're explaining it, we're actually explaining menachas b'shabadim ketzav. But if you notice, it's the Bach. He puts a little the base over there by Nechasim Yisayimim, and he flips it. He flips it over there in the Reisha in order that should be symmetrical with the Seif. Okay, this is a technical point. But Nechasim Yisayimim, Kate, what's the case? Machar Nechasim Achirim, Vinifras Melakuchas, she comes to collect the Ksuva from the per people that the husband sold his property to a third party, and she goes to collect the Ksuva from that third party. Halacha is like the para El Meshvua, she only collected with the Shvua. Nechasim Yisayimim, Meis Vinich Nechasim Yisayimim, the husband died, and he left over the property to the Yisayimim. Even typically we say she collects from Karka, so left from Karka. Still, he nefras myself, she's going to collect this Karka of Ksuva, the Ksuva from the Karka from the Yisayimim. Like the Baal B'Shvua, she needs to make a Shvua. Lastly, she'll be fun of Ketzan. What's Ketzan fun of? Halach le'en l'midas yam. He nefras she'll be fun of. He's traveled overseas, and she's trying to get Ksuva payment when he's not around. He nefras el b'Shvua, she can only collect with a Shvua. She can only collect that, but with a Shvua that she hadn't been paid yet. Says the end of the Mishnah, top of Ambeis, Shimon Eimer, Kozmachi Tavas Ksuvasa, Mashbina, Yershin, Mashbinaisa, Femena Tavas Ksuvasa, and Yershin Mashbinaisa. Shimon says, here's the cloud. If she's Tevea the Ksuva, then they can make her swear. If she's not Tevea the Ksuva, then they cannot make her swear. This will be, the Gemara will explain this in tomorrow's daf, or we're learning tomorrow's daf, sorry, in Sunday's daf, the Gemara will explain this on daf Pei Ches, what exactly Shimon's arguing on the Tanagama. Says the Gemara, Savrav, Ramu Chamel Lameimer, Shvu Deraisa, the Katam Messiah, the Kamaidi Maidalei B'Meya. So Rabbi Yochanan thought to say that this pegemik suva is a classic shuvah ma'ida mixus. Let's get it. Let's chazar over for our remembering. Ma'ida mixus is based on a drasha of the pasuk asher merkiu zeh out of the kim david yavid varshdeim that we did learn from the pasuk over there that in the case where Reuven is tevei Shimon, you owe me $1,000, and Shimon says, I don't owe you $1,000, I owe you $500. He's ma'ida mixus. He's ma'ida to a partial owing. Halacha is he's got to swear. If Shimon wants to not pay the full $1,000, if he wants to get away with paying only $500, he has to swear. The Gemara explains, it goes through Arichas over there in the Lamdas behind it. I mean, of course, it's a Drasha Zakra, but the Gemara explains a Lamdas behind it, and we'll explain now it's important because it'll be relevant for a Taisis, and we'll speak out a few lines for now. The Gemara explains the Lamdas is that a regular borrower doesn't have the chutzpah to deny getting money from the person, the creditor that he owes money to. So if he would deny and say, I owe you zero, he actually wouldn't have to swear. If Reuven says, you owe me $1,000, and Shimon says, I owe you zero, he wouldn't have to swear. On a derisive level, they implemented what we call Shavuos Heses, so he still has to swear because people became so chutzpahdik, they would talk a lie, and therefore the Rabban implemented Shavuos Heses. But let's leave that aside for now. On a derisive level, if he's kaifer akol, we call it, if he denies all, he doesn't have to swear. Only if he's made the mixes, we say like this. Really, he owes all the money. He doesn't have the chutzpah to deny it because he owes the money. But he doesn't have the money yet to pay, or he's trying to buy time. He wants to delay. So what does he say? I'll be made to depart, and I'll try to delay having to pay the rest by being made to depart. I'll pay what I have to pay now when I'm being made to, and the rest I'm going to pay him. I'll pay him later. For now, I'm going to deny it. So the Chum don't want him to take that approach. Not the Chum, the Torah didn't want him to take advantage of the lender that way. And therefore, the Torah says if he's made to half, he's got to swear about the other half. Otherwise, he's mechuyev to pay it all. So that is the din of the mikdash. Our Gemara thought that case, our case of ksuva, is almost identical. The husband, the wife, is saying, "I paid you the whole ksuva. I owe you zero." She's saying, "No. I have a ksuva here. It says you owe me money, and I admit you paid some, but you only paid half. You still owe me half. So that's like a ma'ida b'miktzas. And therefore, maybe the shvua is like a shvua d'araisa," says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, no. For Kamaidla Meya, since she's tining 200. He's tining, I paid you all 200. Go back to the regular case of Suva, 200. She's tining. I'm asking you to pay me 100, but you still me 100. This is the case of Ma'ida Mixus, and therefore that's what he's swearing. Isn't that a connection? Mar says, no. We have two answers why this is not comparable. This is not called the Ma'ida Mixus. First of all, we spoke to that recently. When it comes to Shavuos in the Torah, the typical Shavuos of the Torah is swear to keep your money. A person swears not to have to pay. The Ma'ida Mixus guy. He swears to not have to pay. He swears that when I admitted I owe half, I really only owe half. I don't owe the other half, and therefore I get to keep my money. You don't swear. There's a list. A Mishnah gives a list of Nishma Veneta. Those are unique cases, but that's unique. That's not the typical case. And therefore, this case would be a case where she's swearing to collect. That's Nishma Veneta. Chad Chanush Barshim B'Tayin Nishma B'Mishalman. Typically, swearing is swear to keep, not swear to collect. He Nishmas Venetas, and she's swearing to collect, not swearing to keep. Therefore, it's not comparable to the case of Ma'ida Mixus. V8. And furthermore, you don't make a shvua on against shibat karkaris. You don't make a shvua when there's a shibat karkom. Here, the ksuva is meshubin. There's karkas are meshubin to the ksuva. Once there's a shibat karkaris, there's halacha. Then we don't make shvuas on such things. So there'll be another reason why she shouldn't have to swear if this was a din of ma'ida mixus. Would it make sense? It must be it's a new special din of pegemas ksuva that mechayev to swear. Tais says I have another reason. We spoke out already. The whole reason why you swear normally is because really we say the ma'ida mixus owes all the money. He really wants to admit it. He can't bring himself to admit it because he doesn't want to pay now. He's trying to buy time. He's trying to slip away. He's trying to delay the payment. So by putting a shvua on him, he'll come clean. He's not really a liar. He's not a real, what we'd call a liar. He's obviously lying now, but he's not really a liar. He's just trying to buy time. And therefore, if you make him swear, he'll come clean. Over here, it's opposite. She's not coming to delay a payment. She wants payment. She's coming to collect. So different than what the Gemara said before about Nishpa Venaitel versus Nishpa Lakayim, to keep your money. Is it on the Nakuta via the whole Svarvish Tamutika Mishtam, which is the basis for Ma'ida Mixus, doesn't apply. It says Taisus, the Gemara could have brought that as a third reason. The Gemara was satisfied with the Rav's stage of his daughter, but the Chara, that would have been the third reason why it's not comparable to Ma'ida Mixus. Elam Rav. So Rav says, I'll give you the explanation of the Shvuas Pegemas. Midrabanan to Para Dayak to Mifla Dayak. The Shvua is Midrabanan. I should have, there's a comma there. Midrabanan. The Shvua is Midrabanan. And the reason is to Para Dayak to Mifla Dayak. The typical way it works is the one who's paying money, they keep attention. In this case, the husband is paying the ksuva. He has a good cheshbon how much he's paid, how much he didn't pay. He knows what he paid. The one who's collecting doesn't necessarily keep the best cheshbon how much they were paid already, especially if it's coming in pieces. Therefore, from Rabban Shmuel, they're going to put a shvuner. They put a shvuner in order to make it be careful. We don't want to get into a business where she really got paid and she's being honest in the sense that she really believes she wasn't paid all the money yet, but she didn't keep track. We wanted to keep track. You know, you get to keep track by saying once you collect some, you got to make a shvua about the rest, so she'll keep proper notes because she's gonna be scared to make a shvur that she doesn't know 100% about. So that'll be a way to make sure she keeps track as well. Ibailu, shailam this. We're going to have a few shailas in this from here to the rest of the Amid. Pagim is ksuvas beidim. What if she was pagim ksuva with edim? Meaning, she says, I paid, I'm sorry, I received part, but there were edim there. And the husband says, yeah, but I paid you the rest after edim. I paid you 100 zuz in front of edim 3 years ago, and I paid you 2 months ago privately between you and I another 100 zuz. In such a case, does she have to swear? Do we say, since the first pagam in the ksuva, the first payment was with edim, so if there was going to be another payment, if it would have been with edim, and the fact they can't procure any edim to say that he paid, we don't believe him, we believe her, and she need not even swear? Or no, shayach, that he did one payment with edim, and the next payment he didn't do with edim, and therefore she still has to swear. Mahu. It means that the parah, if edim have a parah, he would have paid with edim, and therefore it's a right, they for sure didn't pay, pay the rest. Idilma, isru mishrami. Or no, we say, that maybe it happens, sometimes it happens that the first time he paid when there's witnesses who happened to be there, the first time, it happened to be witnesses. And the second time, he didn't arrange for witnesses, and therefore they weren't there. But it's not like he purposely paid one time with witnesses, and he's claiming one time without. No, it's not as suspicious as it looks. They happened to be eating the first time, so why not? They were in the second time, he wasn't going to delay the payment, but therefore she still would have to swear. That is the Shaila. Tashem Mas being a Raya from a Braisa. Kodesh Marsha B'Tayra. Ah, here's the Braisa lists, the Nishma V'Naitals. Kodesh Marsha B'Tayra, Nishma V'Lim Shalman. The typical Shavu in the Torah is swear and don't pay. Swear to keep your money. That's typical Shavu. V'Ein Nishma V'Naitals. But the following list, it's not just a short list, the following list are cases of Nishma where one swears and collects. Hasachir, a worker, he swears. He swears he came in. He demands to be paid his wages for his work, and the Baabai says, "I paid you." He could swear to collect. Hanigzel, someone who was the victim of a gzela. Hanechbal, someone who was the victim of physical damage. So the case, those two cases of nigzel and nechbal, the first will explain, are cases where, let's say, that he went into a house. Witnesses say, let's say that some Reuven went into a house and he came out clearly holding something under his jacket. And it's not clear what it was. He clearly was stealing something. He took something with him, right? He clearly was stealing something. And now the Baal HaBayis wants to get it back. So the Baal HaBayis, if he's willing to swear as to what's missing, what was taken, he can swear and collect. Nechbal, similarly, guy came into the house looking fine. He came out looking all beat up. So if the Nechbal is willing to swear that the Baal HaBayis did this damage to him, then he can collect. There's an element, this Edomir testifying about the Nechbal, that he was wounded, testifying about the fact that the guy walked out of his house with something under his coat. But the specific, those nuances, the details, weren't as clear. You could swear and collect in both those cases. The victim, the nigzal, or the nechval. V'shenegde chasha shvua. Or, this being a couple of bodies ago, Rav wanted to make a woman make a shvua, about a ksuva, and Rav's wife, Basav Chizda, says, you can't trust her. She can't swear. So let's say when she can't swear, what Rav say? Okay, fine. So let the other person who's against her, the litigant, swear. Normally, you swear to not pay. In this case, you'd swear to collect. So that's the case with Nishma V'Naitel, where the person who's supposed to be swearing to keep their money is not trustworthy to swear, so you have the other person swear to collect, and they can indeed do so. Further, Chem V'Apakasai, the Chem V'Ni storekeeper with his pinkus, with his ledger. Meaning, you have cases, let's say Baal Bayis says to Chemveni, do me a favor, pay my workers. I'm not going to be around at the end of the month. I'm not going to be around at the end of the week. I need to pay my workers. Keep an account, and then I'll settle with you. The workers come and say they never paid, so the Baal Bayis goes to pay them. And then Chemveni says, I paid them. I want my money. So the Chemveni can just swear, the Halacha is, he swears to the Baal Bayis that he paid out the money, and he's naman, and he's able to collect. The lamedus lachar is the Baal HaBayis already gave the chemi an amanus by putting him in this position. He clearly gave him a level of amanus, and therefore, once the chemi is willing to swear, he's able to collect. One who was paying a shtar without edim, meaning he collects part of the shtar, and there's no edim there, so he admits having a partial payment of a shtar. That's a case where, again, he has to swear. Make a beautiful diak over here for Arai for Arsugya. Pagim shtar is very similar to Pagim's ksuva. And what do we say over there? Shle beidim in, beidim lie. Only because he's pagim without edim, that's why he's got to swear about the rest. But if he's pagim the first part with edim, and there's no edim at the second part, he wouldn't have to swear, he'd be naman to collect the rest. Isn't that a right that the woman also should be able to collect the rest of ksuva without a shvua, but because there's no edim, there's only edim on the part that she admits to be collecting, the part that she's saying she didn't get yet, there's no edim about it, and therefore she'd have to swear. L'chayr, it's a good right. Mar says, no, opposite. Let me buy a kamar. We mean not only where there's edim, where over there he needs shvua to collect the rest. It's the Marmi say the other way that it's. I mean, let me buy is always never the most kishmak way of learning up a sugya. But what we're saying is not only this case, even when there is even when there's, oh no, sorry. It says Shleibek, they're right. Leimibai, had there been Edom there, where when there's Edom there saying he collected part, he had no choice but that mini collected part. So of course he's got to swear about the rest. The Chiddush is, even when there's no Edom, so maybe you should say the part that he's admitting to, it must be an honest fellow. He's admitting they collect the part. He didn't have to admit that. He could demand the whole payment. And yet he's admitting he collect the part. So maybe that's indicative that he's an honest person and we should believe him at the rest. Kamash Mano, he starts to swear. So the price is saying Shleib Edim was not coming to exclude a case of Edim. Kolch came with his Edim. He'd have to swear about the rest. Ibailo. Next Shaila. We'll see one more, maybe we'll see two more Shailas. And then we'll stop at the two dots. Says the Gemara. Ibailo. What if she's collecting a ksuva in increments, in small amounts, each one less than a pruta? And the point over here is not so much the amount, the point is that she's keeping track. Mahu. Mimri keep it the kadaika kulai. Since she's so medactic, she's keeping such a clear accounting, therefore we could trust her. It must be she's very kushna kamra. She must be saying the truth. She has exact numbers. I took 50 cents then, 40 cents then, 80 cents. Oh, wow. She must be honest. Aidoma adaraba. She's a spitz ramai. She's making herself look like such a tzaddikus with all the specific numbers in order that she should fool us that she's so honest. Hagufa, take what we leave as a shayla. Yibayalu, one there. Shayla, pechesis b'ksuvasa. What if she is pechesis b'ksuvasa? That means different than we said, not pegemas. She didn't say I collected part. She says, I know the ksuva says 1,000. Because we wanted to have a fancy wedding, we made a wedding in a fancy hall. They read Kriyas Ksuva under the chuppah. You need to write a big fancy amount. So I know you never intended to pay me 1,000. We discussed this. You only pay me 500. We wrote 1,000, so it should look fancy. You don't owe me 1,000. It says 1,000. You don't owe me. She's admitting that he doesn't owe the money it says in the Ksuva. Is that called a begemis Ksuva? She's admitting that the money's not owed, and therefore she's got to swear about the rest. Or no, it's different. She's just saying it's lesser amount. The Ksuva is less amount, but she demands the full amount of what it truly is. Same as begemis. Since she's saying you only owe me part of the ksuva, that's saying this pegemis that she got to swear. I don't pegemis my demixis. Pegemis, she's being mighty that she got a partial payment. Halakha my demixis, she's not being mighty that she got any payment. She's just saying, I know that we agreed that you're not going to pay the full amount, that's fine. You don't have to pay me the full amount. You don't have to pay the full amount. I'm okay with you paying me 800. But 800 you fully owe me. I haven't received a penny yet from you. So is that she has to swear about the rest or not? Tasha Mazmi Raya. Pechesses tiparish lebishvua. A woman who devalues the ksuva, she says instead of 1,000 the ksuva, you only have to pay 800. She's able to collect without a shvua. Ketzad ha'isuvas elbzus v'amalas kabati ksuvaseich. If the ksuva is 1,000, the husband says I already paid the ksuva. By yemesh, she says lai his kabati lai his kabati v'nei lamana. I didn't accept the ksuva from you, but it shouldn't be 1,000. It says 1,000, but I know you really only owe me 100. Not that you paid me anything, but that's what you owe me. Harachas v'frash lebishvua. So this black and white price is saying that she gets Shleib Shvua when she is Pechas Ksuva, she need not make a Shvua. It's not like Pegemis. Says the Gemara, my Gavya. What? How does she collect the mana? Now we got a problem. What gives her a right to collect the mana? The Ksuva says, Elif, 1,000. She's admitting, Shekhar Bechazav, there's no Sheba on 1,000. So what gives her the power to even collect the mana now? The husband's saying, I paid you fully. What's her claim to a mana? The my Gavya, by Shtara, Hashach Chas Balma. This Shtara is clearly a Chas Balma. It's a broken piece of earthenware, it's garnished. Says Gemara, Amra Brid Rabba by Maris Amano Haisili Beni Levinos. I kind of jumped the gun over here. It's where she said it was a trust between him and I. Meaning, we wrote the shtar like a shtar mana to make it look like a big beautiful ksuva. But it was a trust throughout the whole marriage that he was never going to pay me this full amount. That's fine. He would never pay me, but he was obligated to pay me a mana. That was our agreement. So this shtar is not a chaspa ma'alma, it's a shtar that's still my basis for collecting. I know it says larger amount. We had both agreed that you pay me a small amount. That's her power to collect. And we're saying she actually collect without a shvua because we don't call this a pegemis ksuva. It's a peches ksuva. A peches ksuva need not make a shvua puzzle here and pick up with Hashem after Shabbat.